What's up, everybody? Welcome to another MoGraph MoCast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Matt, and this is the Headline Show.
We got a great show for you today. We got a lot lined up. Make sure you follow us on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram for all the show clips and the other gems and things. Join the MoGraph Slack so you can converse with all the other artists and things. And check out the Discord. Come hang out with us in there. And, you know, chat. Get on video. That's mostly what we do on Discord. We hang out in the video chat during the day, talk about projects, share what we're working on and things. And yeah, just that's about
or,
it. Sometimes we game. Sometimes we game on there a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Or sign up for your very own MoGraph.com artist account where you can post your work, you know, follow other artists, post, you know, activities and find meetup groups and create meetup groups and post jobs and all the other stuff.
Yeah, we got hundreds.
Come join
of members
us on MoGraph.com.
On the quote beta, I guess, still technically, but hundreds of people on there now. So come sign up, put your events and things on there, meetups and things. You can see it on a map. It's really cool. And one of the reasons we're able to do all of that because of our sponsor, Otoy. They're the makers of Octane Render and the Render Network, of course. You know who they are. Great friends of ours, great friends of the show. We got some cool exclusive interviews we're going to be doing with some artists here pretty soon about Octane and what they've been doing in Octane. So make sure you go to otoy.com and thank them for helping make this show possible. With Octane Render and the Render Network, you can make beautiful renders, and you can render them quickly. So there's that.
Yeah.
No other intro things we had to talk about today, so unless you have anything, we'll go straight into headlines. How about
Not
that?
Currently.
How about that? Okay, Maxon Studio. Let's talk about that a little bit. This is a surprise to me. This just kind of happened, and over the weekend I was able to look at it a little bit. Not actually, I didn't get a chance to play with it yet, but I read all about it, which is nice. Haven't had a chance to install and check it out. But this is a new template engine that's available to Red Giant Maxon One subscribers, which is After Effects templates and an intuitive interface for subscribers. It's got all the Red Giant tools integrated into it and everything, and I guess it has about 250 plus capsules and more that they're
they're
be
calling them
well.
Capsules.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of confusing, but you know, from what I understand, I was watching Chad Perkins do his video on it. Is that they're all, it's like a lot of the same stuff that you use in like just your boring explainer videos. You know, it's like, oh, I need a graph. Oh, I need, you know, to compare some numbers and stuff. It's like, these are all just basic templates that you've got at your disposal now, which is kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But I understand what they're getting at with the capsule thing, like trying to drive that like capsules are these templated things because it makes sense in the context of Cinema 4D as well. There's things like lower thirds, for example, you know, like you said, these little things that you got to do sometimes. It's great to have these templates ready to go, especially like when it's not really about like super matching a brand or anything. It's just like, I need a lower third. I don't care what it looks like. It just needs to be a lower third. You know, the same kind of thing.
And it's like, no one else is going to notice that you use the template, you know, the template, you know,
I mean, you know, it's like when you're using, templates or things in, Instagram for reels, or if you're using, TikTok or something like that, sometimes you just want, I need to just write something and it needs to look like whatever. I just need to put a template in here. So it's great. So, Studios Discover tab reveals a capsule thumbnail gallery. Users can browse, filter, and search in seconds. This solves the problem of staring at a blank page when a transition title or other enhancement is needed. Animated capsule previews show how the enhancement will look. There are dozens of us.
There's dozens of us.
Dozens of Adobe and Red Giant tools and plugins. Capsules amount to hundreds or even thousands of parameters and settings. I'm sure there's a bunch of parameters and things like that. And, of course, you can adjust the keyframings and all of that. Mm-hmm. Studio's UI can run in its own window on a separate screen or dock into the After Effects window for a more consolidated workspace. Maxon Studio capsules are responsive. Okay. So it means responsive as far as 720, 1080p, or 8K.
I thought that was cool. Like, yeah. So I saw him do this. Basically, he had three different, and I was just watching it in passing, so I may get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's like, so based off of your composition, like, so if you have like a 720 or a 1080p or a 4K or an 8K composition, right, it will automatically load it into the correct size, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, but my question though is whether or not it's responsive as far as like, you know, vertical video and things like that, because that would be...
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
That would be super useful if you could do something like that. But they look pretty cool. Again, I haven't had a chance to play with them yet, but looks pretty cool. Looks like it'll be useful. It's, you know, that's really, for me, that is what Red Giant has been about. Like, I don't always use Red Giant tools, because I do a lot of everything I do, I try and stay as native in Octane as I can.
Yep.
I'm not a Redshift person. I try and stay in Octane. I want it to be as close as possible. I've been doing a lot of the tone mapping, forced tone mapping stuff recently.
Yeah.
EXRs, and just trying to get it super polished. There's very little thing. I was working on something the other day. The only thing I had to do in post was add a little bit of fumes coming off of a flame, right? That was it. And that's not typically something you're going to do in Octane, although who knows? Like, maybe there's some OSL thing you can, you know, but I'm not going to go that far. It's, you know, you just need a little bit of heat waves coming off of something. So just go to Red Giant, because they've got that.
Yeah.
And so that's what I really use that stuff for, and it's like a pocket knife, Swiss Army knife type thing, right? You know, you bust out your tools, and that's why I pay for it, because you never know when you're going to need that one little thing, even if it is something simple, but it makes it so much easier than having to figure out how you're going to do something or buy one little separate plugin for something, you know, because there's just so much at your disposal. Sometimes I forget what's in there. Almost need a reminder what's in there, because there's, you know, I mean, lens flares, you know, all of that, right? Sometimes you need just a little something, and if you've already got the package,
it's easier. I used the glitch effect the other day.
Glitch effect, I use that a lot too. You know, it's
I found a really cool plugin that's not Rev Giant. It's called Pixel Sorter. It's on AE Scripts. That thing is cool. So it takes like all the pixels and like just like stretches them out and like moves them all around. Oh, it was super cool. Anyway, nice. That's.
But we're going to talk a lot about AI outrage today, starting with Meta.
Yeah, there's been a lot. There's been a whole lot. So let's see. Meta executive stated in May that the company considers public Instagram posts part of its training data. So if you're posting publicly on Instagram, they will be scraping your data in order. And I would just like to point out that I've been saying this for months. I have been saying this for months and months and months, maybe even a year, that, you know, all of the Meta AI stuff is being 100% stolen from your work that you are posting on there. So, when they stated that a few weeks later, it pinged users in Europe, stating that their posts would be used to train AI starting on June 26th. There's no way to opt out. Though some places in the European Union allow people to dispute when Meta uses their personal data. And I just like to say, everyone who is posting, let's see, I own the copyright to all my images and submit in my Instagram profile, and therefore do not consent to Meta or other companies using them to train generative AI platforms. This includes all future blah, 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 blah. I just like to say, like, that will do nothing for you. Like,
okay,
that is...
Yeah.
like,
yeah, okay,
that
boomer.
Is straight up the boomer, I don't give Facebook my permission,
to use my photos.
You know, and it's like, I don't know why, like, I come on, artists, y'all are smarter than this. You should know.
You
when
signed a
this...
contract. You accepted the terms of service. The only way you can opt out of that contract is by deleting your account. That's it.
Yes. Yes. And if you continue to keep your stuff up there and keep your work up there, they're going to continue to scrape the data and they're going to continue using it for their AI and their training and stuff like that. And they're going to be using your hashtags that go along with it, you know,
right.
And there is nothing you can do about it except for delete your profile.
That's
you
what
know?
Sucks, too, is you're putting the hashtags on these things. So they're using those hashtags to yep. tell the AI, oh, this is a product shot of something, you know, mm-hmm. oh, cool. I'll sort that over here with product shots and train the AI on product shots with that. You know,
yeah.
it's you're doing all the work for them.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are really upset about this. And I've been saying it for the past year. If you're going to continue using Facebook or whatever, they are going to scrape your stuff. And that was a huge influence for us creating our own platform.
Right.
You know, if you go on to MoGraph.com, you can sign up for your stuff. We said this months ago, where we are not going to use your stuff. Your stuff is yours. We have built this platform specifically for artists so that artists can interact with other artists and they can be creative and they don't have to worry about if AI is scraping this stuff. We've even talked to some of our developers about implementing the what's the poison stuff, the AI poison, you
oh,
know?
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
talking about?
The stuff that doesn't like, work, yeah.
Exactly. So, like, we've even talked to them about, like, creating some sort of program that when you upload your stuff, it automatically runs through it. So if someone is scraping your information, it doesn't show up. Like, it right. messes it all up.
But the whole
it basically
point
poisons the AI algorithm.
Is we're integrated with Otoy, and Otoy is working on ways to have decentralized, ethical mm-hmm. ways to opt in, opt out, to give you credit if credit is due down the line. We're not to that point yet as far as like where the technology has gone and what it's going to be used for yet.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you're putting this stuff on our servers and you're, you know, using the Otoy integration, we feel like Otoy has a good handle on the ethics of the whole thing,
yeah.
right? We're not allowing it to be used for anything. And when it does get to the point where, you know, just like Otoy has been talking about, where you could do credits and things, that's what's going to happen. It's like if I could opt in and say I want to use my stuff for AI, as long as I yeah. get some render token or something for it, that
yeah.
would be amazing. And that's
yeah.
where we're hoping that it will go in the future, is we can say, hey, yeah, sure, I'll get, you know, a couple bucks every time somebody uses some piece of my art in the mm-hmm. algorithm. Now, here's the thing. I don't feel like my art is good enough to even train the AI in the first place, so I'm not really worried about it. But some people yeah. are, right? So we've got a poll here. This week's poll, if you go to mograph.com/weekly poll, or you can scan the QR code if you're watching here, mm-hmm. will you cancel your account on platforms that scrape for AI? And I guess I'll put an asterisk on this and say, if you can't opt out, you know, yes, yeah. no, or unsure. I put in the first vote. I said unsure because I don't, I honestly don't feel like my art is that influential at right now, like where I really care.
Right.
You know,
but like, okay, say for example, right now you're posting these video game clips or whatever on your reels and stuff like that, you know, like, it's not just so much like you're taking time out of your schedule in order to make these clips or to like create videos or whatever, whether you're using reels, whether you're using art, every single thing that gets posted to Instagram or to Facebook is being scraped for something.
But I
and
don't
if
know
you're
what
using
my gaming
tags,
reels are going to be used. What would my gaming reels be used for? You know,
I don't know. Someone types in, you know, give me a video of, you know, create a video of, you know, someone gaming and blah, 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 or something like that, you know, It's like, I understand, but everything will be used, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm not making any money on the game reels to begin with.
That's true, yeah. Yes, but you should be if maybe. You're spending the time
they're
in order
traction.
To... And that's always been like the major problem with me with a lot of these, yeah, especially Instagram. It's like now they're not only scraping your stuff in order to feed the AI, but they're also hoping that you post work so that they can feed your followers advertisements for stuff, you know? It's like I've always hated the Facebook marketing way of doing things. I think it's really shady and really corrupt. And it's like, shouldn't there just be a place where you can just post your work, you know, and yeah, hang out with other creatives and do all this other stuff? You know, what'd you say?
Yeah, but you got to pay.
Well, right. Ours, you don't.
That's true.
We pay. That's why we have wonderful sponsors like Otoy who help us cover the costs of the back end stuff and, you know, all this and all this other jazz.
Again, it comes back to like these other platforms. If platforms are coming out saying they're not using it for AI, what are they using it for something else? Like what's the point? You know, why are they doing it? What is their reasoning behind it?
Right.
Advertising, I
mean, I would assume so, you know. The thing is, we've got stuff coming up to where, you know, we have a way of making money. We have a way of making a monetary return on it, you know, which eventually it'll be worth it for us.
But it's based on other people making money. That's the thing.
Instead of
legit money. It's not like...
it's not going to be filling your feed with advertisements and, you know, curating what you should see and what you shouldn't, you know.
Right.
That's frustrating. It's so frustrating.
But people don't care about that. They just want shiny. So whatever.
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
If you want a cool site, you know, where you can post your work without worry, come on over to MoGraph.com. Anyway.
And we're working on it right now. That's the thing. That's why we say it's in beta. We're trying to craft it. We're trying to get feedback. So post your stuff. If something isn't working, let us know. If you would like to see something, let us know. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Trying to get a community in here.
We noticed, you know, everyone enjoys the Instagram way of looking at things. So we've been looking at like a way of changing your view to just have specific posts, like in a very Instagrammy way, if that's what y'all want. But like, you know, come join us, hang out with us, come check out the website, post your work. I use the site every day because anytime I'm applying for a job, if they ask for my portfolio site, I put that down, mattmilstead.mograph.com, and it immediately sends them to my portfolio site, which is great. It has my demo reel, has all my projects. It's perfect.
And it's got the word MoGraph in the title, you know.
And it's got the word MoGraph, right?
Yeah.
Right?
again, I'll reiterate on the poll, if you want to scan the QR code again, or if you're listening, which that's most people, MoGraph.com/weekly poll. We're going to let this go for a week, and we will follow up, though, again at the end of this episode. And so if you're watching right now, make sure that you go ahead and do that QR code or vote on the website. So we'll see what those numbers are. Now, speaking of which...
this is the whole AI episode.
Yeah. Oh, it is. So... We're talking about people getting super scared of AI, and we're talking about this is going to take your jobs and all of that. But at the same time, Sora is not as cool or as scary as you thought it was, because they had that balloon video, and everybody, including ourselves,
especially got, you. Yeah, I remember you were really upset about it. Right. You were like, oh, man, this is like the end.
Yeah, it really got me down. And the reason is because it just comes out and it's like, oh, look what Sora can do. Well, it turns out that's not the case. That's not what it can do. You know, it's just doing things that some of these other things are doing right now, like Runway ML and stuff, right? It's doing the same thing. It's kind of hit or miss. Sometimes you can get it to do what you want it to. Sometimes you can't. And if you can't get it to do the thing that you want it to do, there's really not much you can do about that. You're pretty much screwed. It's not going to work, right? So it turns out there was a ton of rotoscoping, there was a ton of manual VFX. The team that had access, early access to this, the Shy Kids team that made that video, there was an interview with Patrick Cederberg, and he said, control is still the thing that is most desirable and also the most elusive at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So not being able to control that stuff, I know there are AIs that have a lot of control and things, but it's still not the control you want. Like, if something isn't just quite there, that's it for you. You can't really go back to the AI. Yeah.
And that is 100% the thing that I have run into. I have used like AI generative art, you know, through lots of projects, and it sucks because it's like I have to spend so much time like curating and figuring out and redoing over and over again, hoping that it hits the right thing, you know?
Exactly.
That my jumble of words finally ends up making it to where it can see, right. You know? It's like, this is what it's like. It's like having the most talented, amazingly creative, dumbass intern who can't take directions.
Right.
You know? It's like you can create the most beautiful art in the entire world, better than anyone can make art, but you cannot take any direction.
Right.
So you've got to keep on coming back to me and being like, hey, is this good? No. Do it this way. Hey, how about this? No, that looks similar to the last. What about this?
What and about this? No, that's completely
it's not
different.
Art directable at all.
Right. Can you move the fire hydrant to the left by an inch? Sure. Right. Here's a whole new version.
Here's a whole new version.
I didn't ask right. for that. And that's what gets right. me about these people that are on Facebook and other platforms. I've seen them commenting on a lot of things. AI bros. They don't come from this industry. And they think that this is it. I'm an artist. I've made it. I'm an artist now.
Yeah.
And it's like, right, but the second you try and make money, what happens when they tell you to move the fire hydrant to the left by 1 inch? You yep. don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You won't even know. You don't even know how to do that in Photoshop.
Yeah.
Like, you still have to know how to use this stuff and how to create stuff for other people. What happens yeah. when the client asks you, and I see people laughing at it in the comments. Oh, that's just silly. Well, have you ever had a client that has asked you to do something like that? Because if you're laughing, I guarantee you haven't. And I guarantee you, you're not making money off of this. Who are you selling this stuff to? Who are you working projects for right now saying you're just strictly an AI artist? You don't have an Adobe account. You don't have Photoshop. You don't have anything but Midjourney. Give me a break. It's not happening right now. And that's why I'm saying it's not as close to midnight on the doomsday clock as we thought.
I agree.
Or there, but,
I agree.
But the
and it is,
it's not ticking
I think,
much.
I honestly think AI is going to be, I think it's one of those dreams, right? It's like we all would love to be able, and you can do this to a point, right? Like you can put in all the scripts to every Simpsons episode for the first like 9 seasons, all the good ones, and say, produce me a good, a new Simpsons one. But then you get it like, okay, easy stuff like that.
You get Bort Samson.
Then it's like, yeah, you get Bort. We need more Bort license plates.
Yeah.
But it's like, but then the animation part of it is, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. I think AI animation is a pipe dream like rotoscoping. You'll never have to rotoscope again, right?
They always
I have been hearing that. I have been hearing that for 20 years. Since CS5 and the rotobrush came out, you will never have to rotoscope ever again, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, you know? I don't think it will ever get to that point. And when it does, I mean, I think we're kind of at a precipice.
This is what we'll get.
Don't I think we're really at a precipice here in like not only technology and art and but humanity as it is. So I you know, this is like doom and gloom very much, you know, but it has very much been on my mind lately. The amount of compute power that this stuff takes, I mean, just look at NVIDIA stock right now. Like, it's ridiculously high because NVIDIA is the only company that can create GPUs that can do this stuff, right? Okay, you're going to get more and more stuff. You're going to get more and more compute power, and it's only going to take more energy. You know, and then we're going to throw more carbon dioxide into the air and we're going to burn ourselves all up real quick.
Yeah, Jeff says include the old Homer voice or it's not real. I know. And what's crazy is
Marge?
Not even that old, but like, I don't know what it is. It's the same guy. I don't know why the voice sounds different now, but I think it will be doable.
I actually know this answer. It's because he said doing the early Homer voice actually hurt a lot.
Oh.
And so he knew if he was going to continue, he needed to change it into something that was less painful.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm, interesting. Now, I would love that. I would love
back to doom and gloom.
I would love to be able to have that, and I'm not saying it's never going to happen, because you know the rate that technology increases and things. I don't think it could never happen. I think that honestly, we're going to have a lot more problems in this world before we can get to that point. But at the same time,
I think so too. Yeah,
there's somebody that you know. Well, one of the things is going to be what happens with Taiwan. That's going to be a big deal. It, you know, either we're going to figure out how we're going to get more of these chips made in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. If anything happens in Taiwan, it's going to really create a domino effect on any progress that happens in this. And
I think they are building more chip sites here in the U.S.
They are,
right?
We got the CHIPS Act or whatever. I mean, it's in the works. They're trying to prevent that from happening. But it's got to happen quick, I feel like. Things are accelerating fast. And, you know, so it could happen. And there's somebody who is working at OpenAI who has been rumored to have said they're one of the top engineers and they're working on the AGI stuff. And
what's AGI?
Saying that it's like 3 years away. So where you have an AI that's like more conscious in a way to where, like, you know, right now if you talk on OpenAI, right, and you ask it to do something and it doesn't do it right, and you're like, no, that's not what I meant. It's not learning from that mistake
for somebody else.
So that's more what I'm talking about. And they're saying in about 3 years, it will be to that point to where it will be the level of a college grad. Now, you mix that with the robotics advances that are going on.
Yeah.
And imagine that you had an AGI robot who could do all your labor tasks for you.
Yes, that's but again, that all comes down to, like, okay, we've got robots now. We can't even, like, recycle computer parts, you know? Like,
well, the robots
how
will
much
be able to
of
help
the
us
world's
with that.
Resources are going to be put towards, you know, and how much will we destroy the earth, you know, in order to feed robots,
again,
to create robots?
It comes back to the question, can we get AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, how fast can we get the AGI here so that it can fix that problem? Because that's really what it is. If we can get the AGI to figure out solutions to these problems, if the AGI has a college-level intelligence, college graduate-level intelligence, that means that the next step is that they start learning and fixing problems, and they can run a billion different versions of something and figure out what polymer is going to not have the most contaminants, you know, coming off of it when it's produced, and all of that kind of stuff, right? And what's the best way to manufacture these things, and how are we going to offset for the fact that people are going to lose jobs? What happens when an automated car, electric car, can deliver your stuff from the robot factory of Amazon, and the robot gets out and carries it to the door for you. Your robot puts it on the shelves. Like, you don't have to do anything, right? But then we're going to have...
That's why you have kids, dude.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
But then you're going to have some sort of... Yeah, they don't. We're going to have a way to offset the fact that people aren't making money for that anymore. And my hope is AGI can be something hopeful that we're striving towards so that it can fix problems before we destroy ourselves. I think that we're more likely to destroy ourselves than any form of AI destroying us. That's the way I agree. Look at it.
I completely agree with that. Yes. I think we will destroy ourselves way before the AI has a chance to do it.
I, for one, 100%. Welcome our AI overlords, because I do feel like they are more likely to fix things because they're going to look at it from a logical perspective instead of bringing the emotion into it, which could be bad if it has to do with, oh, well, the solution is getting rid of humans. But other than that, you know.
Yeah.
I really like
what Sean said in the chat. He said, my concern is consumer acceptance of crappier animations may grow as more and more of the garbage is produced and overwhelms what people see minute to minute. And I 100% like it's funny you say that, because I have seen that over the past 20 years of being in this industry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like you saw the advent of YouTube. And so the advent of like people pushing out just kind of these really crappy animations, like
marker board explainer videos.
Right. Well, but it's like you would never see a jump cut in a good edit, right? Unless it specifically called for it. Now, every video you see online is just jump cuts.
That's a style.
Exactly.
Now.
And you would have never done that back in the day.
That was such a big faux pas back in the day to have any jump cuts at all.
Right, exactly. But
you
it's
cut
like
to B-roll
our,
and then cut back.
Our minds got used to it. We got used to that style. Mm-hmm. You know, we also have gotten extremely used to seeing very compressed video. You know, you go to YouTube and it'll be on 480p, and a lot of times you won't even think about it. You're just like, oh, I just want to watch this, you know? And it's like, yes, we have gotten used to seeing that. You know what? Okay, so I see this all the time. Confetti videos or whatever.
It's
the worst in digital, because digital cannot handle confetti.
Or particles.
It's compressed. It's crazy. Confetti on a or stuff like that, or particles on like a full HD early back in the day when you were watching it on like an actual analog signal. Oh, beautiful. Like, just beautiful. But now it's like everyone's gotten so used to it just looking like garbage. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that's just garbage now.
Yeah, if you watched a broadcast over the air,
it's style
HD,
based on poor editing decisions. Yeah, I like that.
If you watched the Super Bowl in HD broadcast, you know, analog HD or like over the air HD, and at the end the confetti is flying, it looked great. But no, if you watch it on YouTube TV or whatever now, it looks awful. It looks
bad,
awful.
So bad.
So, yeah, so that's our conversation on Sora. The only other quote was, while all the imagery was generated in Sora, the balloon still required a lot of post-work. In addition to isolating the balloon so it could be recolored, it would often sometimes have a face on it as if it was drawn on with a marker, and this would be removed in After Effects.
I'm curious if, like, okay, so what was the cost of doing it that way versus the cost of if you were just to go out and
shoot the dang thing,
right?
And then put a balloon on the head.
No offense to them, but the quality wasn't
right.
You know, like Hollywood level. Like it was fine, you know, but it's nothing that like a cameraman or like a DP or something. It's nothing that like Jags or Nick could go shoot, you know, just on their A7 Sony cam thing that I don't know what kind of stuff that they use, you know, like they're great DPs and they could shoot this themselves, you know? Right. And it's like, okay, so if you were to go and plan out all your shots versus like having to go through and spend so much time in post fixing it, I don't know.
My whole thing is that I'm not going to let it upset me.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are very up in arms about it.
There's a lot of people up in arms.
I just don't feel like it's the most important thing in this world right now. Just with other things going on, and I won't get political on this show.
Yeah.
we can talk about that later if you'd like in some other venue, but right now I'm more concerned with things like that and with things happening in this world before we are even able to produce AGI. You know, and so whatever we get is what we're going to get, and I'm going to roll with the punches, and I'm going to use the tools to the best of my ability to make as much money as I can while I can, and take that money and maybe invest it in something else to have as a backup. That's all I can think of. You know, I'm not saying I'm leaving.
I am very excited about this 20-for-1 or 10-for-1 split on NVIDIA coming next month.
Yeah,
I have 2 shares of NVIDIA. I'm about to have 20.
Yeah, that's going to be great for people who want to buy in a little lower.
Yeah.
So, and right now, but again, it comes back to Taiwan, right? And I wouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. Is all I'm saying. You got to diversify.
Yep.
Invest in property and such, you know what I'm saying? Do some other things.
I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, got to diversify
your bonds.
I'm just
working day to day. I got to pay the mouse.
You got to pay the mouse. All right. Well, we got a few other things to talk about. I can't say we're not done. I can't say we're done with AI.
Yeah, we got one more
AI. We're not done with AI. But we'll take a break for a minute, and then we'll be back, and we'll have more outrage.
Hi, my name is Sashia Dumont. I'm a writer, actor, and filmmaker.
Hi, my name is Paul Robinson. I'm a director, DP, and filmmaker. We are the creators and hosts of the Go Gorilla Filmcast, an online source for all things indie film.
We are a husband and wife film team and co-owners of Sen3 Productions, and we started this podcast for filmmakers like ourselves who were producing on micro budgets with skeleton crews.
Go Gorilla is a weekly podcast that features various talents in TV, film, and web series productions.
We've interviewed filmmaker powerhouses like Kestrel Pantera,
Richard Raymond,
Alex Ferrari,
Cassandra Ebner,
and Ryan Connolly. Amazing actors like Hannah Ward,
Lou Taylor Pucci,
Chris Wataski,
and Eileen Gruba.
Groundbreaking cinematographers like Jody Lee Lipes,
and Jessica Lee Gagné, and many more.
We also offer weekly reviews of our favorite films and shows, which vary from low-budget first-time filmmakers to A-listers and everyone in between. Go Gorilla is proud to announce that we have officially joined the MoGraph Podcast Network.
So if you love filmmaking as much as we do,
tune in every Sunday for a new episode of the Go Gorilla Filmcast,
your source for all things indie film.
Now available on the MoGraph Podcast Network.
All right, so I was watching the Apple announcement thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't know. So this week's artist spotlight, we're bringing back an old friend, a good friend, Mr. Smearballs.
Mr. Balls.
He just released the new Motley Crue music video. I know he's been working on this for a while. Motley Crue, Dogs of War. I'm super excited. Just be aware. NSFW. So if you're watching at work, there are wieners and boobs in it. So just
place.
Be prepared.
I tried to
but
cut
it is
a lot of them out of this clip, at least. There's a couple boobs. But
it's very Smearball-esque, super fun,
sure.
You know, chaotic. But yeah, it's cool to see him doing other work and stuff like that. And you know, it's his style.
It's his style.
I love his work. I absolutely love his work. It's grotesque and beautiful in the same way, you know? And Nick is just such a good guy. He's such a good guy. Like, it's so funny. You meet him in person and you're just like, oh, yeah, he's a super cool dude. And it's like, what do you do? It's like, oh, I create really weird stuff, you know?
And I guess the Tommy Lee connection is because Joel Dead Mouse.
Yeah, I think Joel and Tommy Lee are like really good friends.
Yeah.
Really, really good
Tommy
friends.
Tommy Lee was
and so,
his best man at his wedding, wasn't he? Or something?
I think so, yeah. That was before Tommy Lee went to college.
I guess I guess that's the connection there. He's probably like, hey, who did your... He probably already knew Nick, but he's probably like, hey,
did you ever watch Tommy Lee went to goes to college?
No, I didn't.
Oh, so good. It was so good. It was like horribly contrived, but so funny. Yeah.
No, I never saw it.
It's early days of like... reality TV, so you know how everything just feels super scripted. Right. It's like, oh, this week Tommy's gonna he's gonna make a what was it? He's gonna start his own fraternity.
Oh yeah,
in college.
Well, oh, this wasn't planned
this,
at all.
This series, this week he's gonna try out for the drum team, you know, and stuff. But he's gotta pass his class. It's so funny. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so back to some more AI outrage
back
stuff.
Back to some more AI. Now that we've taken a break showing you crazy weird stuff from Nick Denbauer.
Yeah. So this won't get you as mad on the AI front, because I think this is actually a win in the end. Is Adobe had this whole TOS thing that a lot of people got really... Again, everybody gets really upset about things, and we realize it's not exactly what it... They said it was in the first
place. Well, here's the thing. People should get upset. People should get upset when their art and stuff are being taken advantage of, you know? And there are
that
times
part
in
I
which...
Get.
Hey, yes. And go ahead. I'll let you say. Yeah. I'll just jump
that,
in whenever.
That part but, yeah. I get. But here's the thing. You can't preemptively get upset when you don't know if that's the problem yet. A lot of people jump to conclusions and get upset before it's time to be upset. And that's what I'm talking about here, right? Adobe Creative Cloud users open their apps and they have a new thing that forces you to agree to the new terms of service, which, you know, you're going to say yes. What are you going to do? You know, we've all seen the South Park episode, right? So the Centipad episode, you agree to the terms of service and you don't really have any other choice, you know? So it seemed to suggest that Adobe was claiming rights over their work. And the ability to open their projects and, you know, use NDA projects of theirs for AI scraping. And what really happens a lot of times in the situation, and I've seen it happen in many avenues, is that it's lawyer speak. It's CYA lawyer speak that people always get upset about for no reason. This is the reason that the boomers write on Facebook. You don't have my permission to use my photos, blah, 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 because some lawyer said, hey, just in case somebody decides to sue, and just in case there was some sort of accident here or whatever, we're CYA. It's lawyers, 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 all the way down, right?
Lawyers, you know, all the way down.
So... you know,
lawyers on the backs of lawyers on the backs of lawyers.
It's all lawyers speak. So of course they're going to issued a clarification. And I don't agree with everything that they have in their terms of service, especially the stuff now with like, you can't use old versions, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's something that people saw and they got upset about and they're like, no, that's true. They're really claiming that. So yeah, I'm upset about that. Right.
Yeah.
You can't.
I don't think they're... How would they stop someone from using an old version of Photoshop or an old version of After Effects or whatever? It's like, if they bought the license a long time ago, you know, they sure as heck are able to do that. And there's nothing that... No offense, I like Adobe, but there's nothing you can do about it, because that is law.
But also,
you know?
The
CYA... That is consumer protections. Like, you can't... like retroactively take away someone's permission to use something,
but
you know,
but you can, because in CYA fashion, the terms of service say that they can change at any time. Another CYA thing, right?
Man.
So if you go back and look at that, if I bust out my DVD copy of Adobe Photoshop CS3,
yeah,
which I still have somewhere around here,
yeah.
It says
After Effects 3 was the first one I started on.
By installing this, by you opening this thing, you're agreeing to the terms of service inside. So, I mean, what are you going to do about that, really? You know, you're going to have to, again, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to go with the flow, or are you just going to completely quit? And that's you really don't have a choice. You're using somebody else's stuff. I guess you could make your own After Effects. What are you going to do?
I'm going to make my own After Effects.
With blackjack. Hookers
and blackjack.
Yeah. So Adobe issued a statement clarifying it does not train its Firefly AI models on unpublished user content.
Mm-hmm.
Adobe says it does not train Firefly generative AI models on user content. It will never assume ownership of a customer's work.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's it's good. Just something taken out of context. Like Jen says here, wait for clarity before burning everything to the ground.
Yeah. I'm curious, though, like, does that include Behance?
It's like published.
Okay. So if you're publishing your stuff on TOS. Behance that's owned by Adobe,
you gotta go look
are
at
they
that
scraping
TOS.
That for AI?
We'll have to look at the TOS. But that's a completely different thing because this was more about After Effects. And people were like, well, I guess I'm never using After Effects again because they claim that they can open my project that's NDA'd with this company. No, that's not what they're saying. And they clarified that they're not. And if they do, maybe opinions will change. They said, we recently made an update to our TOS with the goal of providing more clarity on a few specific areas and pushed a routine reacceptance of those claims to the cloud, an Adobe Cloud document, where you agree to the terms every once in a while, whatever. Mm-hmm. We received a number of questions resulting from this update and wanted to provide some clarity. We remain committed to transparency, protecting the rights of creators, and enabling our customers to do their best work. So they've addressed it. Not that that won't change. Not that it's not going to be different in other areas like Behance. We don't know. No idea.
That actually brings up a very, because I've been a big supporter of Adobe on this whole AI thing because they have been using, I've assumed that they've used Adobe Stock in order to, you know, train their AI and stuff. That's why Photoshop generative AI is not that great sometimes, you know, but it's like, that also brings into question, like, are they using Behance stuff as well? Like, are they, what all are they training it on? This is something I shouldn't go speculating, but it's like it makes you wonder.
Well, I'll tell you,
I shouldn't go speculating, but I'm going to speculate anyway.
The thing that I like more than anything is just circle a thing and hit generate. No prompt, anything else. I get
totally
the best
agree.
Results from that. And
right
now, rotoscoping is with AI is not as great as everybody says it is. Some people have had good luck, and when they have good luck, they come back to you, and what do they say? Man, this worked really well. Yeah, it did for that clip. But next week, when someone sends you a compressed clip with a bunch of grain in it, like I got this week, which I can't make any better, and I've got to track it, and the track sucks, and I've got to kind of get a manual track in there, and then I've got to clean it up, and I've got to do stuff with it. Is it going to work the same? No, it's not.
Yeah.
It will, or maybe one shot will work and one won't, or we'll do, again, like Sora, halfway works, and then I have to fix the rest of it.
Yeah.
It's...
Have you ever used the select subject in Photoshop?
All the time.
Yeah. I don't understand why they can't incorporate that into like After Effects. Because it's really quick, you know, at selecting the subject. It's like, let's just go. What if I exported 150 frames of a thing and just did select
subject?
That's
what
Roto
is basically doing. The problem is that it's too different between frames.
Yeah.
For it to, and I'm sure that'll get better, right? But that's the whole thing. Right now, it's not there. So I'm still doing a lot of cleanup work and things. It's one of those things that I don't really advertise, but I do get quite a bit of clients that I can do easy, super fast cleanup with using Mocha and a little bit of After Effects. And my biggest go-to is that, just remove this thing off the side of the car. Okay. So what do? I go to Mocha, I track the logo or whatever's on the side of the car that I want to take off. I go to the middle frame, I save that file, I go into Photoshop, I circle it, hit generate, it completely wipes it clean, I resave it, I bring it back in, I mask it off, I attach it back to that track. And in an hour or less, I've got this whole thing cleaned up with all the little things in it because I've just, you know, use that to your advantage while you can.
Yeah.
because, like I said, it's not great for everything right now, but AI will probably get to that point. But just go with the flow. The genie is out of the bottle.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. You can get mad about it, but the genie's out of the bottle. I don't know what else to say or do. You know?
Yeah.
Does everybody just revolt and say, okay, we're not gonna do art anymore? You're gonna have to go find another job. I don't know what else to say. I really don't.
Dude, there's a I'm just glancing up at the Apple thing. I think they have a new calculator app for the iPad. Finally.
Oh, that's funny.
But they're making notes and like doing equations, and the iPad is solving it in their notes.
Is there AI?
Probably. I don't know.
I've been waiting for that.
Anyway.
I think that's something that's probably going to come to photos, for example. Mm-hmm. You've got that Rimini that is so good at cleaning up pictures of people and their faces, you know,
photos
and things. I think that's going to happen. I think they're going to do a thing where you can click on something and then you can enhance someone's face or something. Or
enhance.
I think there's going to be a lot of that coming. I'm surprised.
I
might have said this before, but they're going to be the sleeper. Apple's going to be the sleeper, and they're working on some AI stuff. That's just going to be, but they're waiting to get it.
Yeah,
that's what they always do. They're waiting to get it right. So
yeah, just like they did with the with the VR help.
Well, I mean, it's not that they didn't get it right. It's just super expensive.
Yeah,
and they need games. It's, you know, they're getting it to a point where they could, you know, put something decent.
I was wanting to talk about what was that program that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I hit up Mike about this.
Yes.
Magnific. Yeah. Okay, so this past week I downloaded this model. And the textures were like super low res, right? So I was like, oh, okay, I'll just bring this into Topaz and up-res them and stuff. And it like didn't do that great. But Magnific is
it's like an AI enhancement version.
It's like an AI enhancement. So it like reads what's going on. So I was able to take this UV map, you know, the diffuse of the UV map, throw it in there, and create super more detailed, it was like skin textures and stuff like that. So it's super low res at first, but as soon as you throw it in there, it's like you get these really high res and it's like 4K textures and it looks so much better. Now, it's expensive. Like, it's like $40 a month, you know, which is really expensive for like just a AI enhancement thing. But for some of the stuff that like Mike, or like if you're doing dailies, like this is kind of something that he's been doing, which is really cool with his dailies. He'll create like an image, you know, throw it into this and then like say what he wants and then Photoshop out the bad stuff and keep in the good stuff.
And it's
a really great way of doing art.
Like it just gives you some things you could use. We used, what is it? Runway ML for some stuff where I just needed to take some still photos and add a little bit of motion into them for a split second and add a bunch of Red Giant VHS filter on top of it. Right. And that's exactly what it was good for, is a half second. That was it. You know, after that, things get wonky or whatever. But it's the same thing. It's you get an output from this, and then you Photoshop and you work with it a little bit to enhance your workflow. Before we go, we do want to talk about summer events in MoGraph.
Yeah. Yeah, first up, we've got a SIGGRAPH. Dave, do you know the dates on that? I'm stupid. I should have looked that up.
It's at the SIGGRAPH end of July.
Yeah, 2024. It's okay, so it's July 28th through August 1st in Denver, which is exciting.
Yeah.
That's really cool that it's going to be in Denver. So if you're going to SIGGRAPH, make sure and come by, say hi. Dave will be hanging out at the Maxon booth, I'm assuming. I probably won't be there this year because my wife starts school and my kids are still out of school.
Wait, you're not going to Colorado at all?
I don't think so. I don't. Maybe I'll go for the weekend. I don't know. But, yeah, you know, the show normally starts on like a Tuesday, right?
Doesn't it? It does start on Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's like Tuesday. I wouldn't be able to. Yeah, the exhibition is the 30th of July through the 1st of August. Mm-hmm. So it's like I wouldn't be able to even. Yeah, that's Tuesday through Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I don't know, unless I can find someone to watch my kids for 3 days. You know,
well, there's just so many people.
I don't really have a support system at home. So but
we have so many people that we know in Colorado. So we're definitely going to be doing some sort of meetup, you know, some event type stuff. So that'll be fun.
So maybe I'll come by for the weekend, you know, but if you're going, I think they do give out exhibition only passes. Is that right, Dave? I think so.
I'm pretty sure that. I think they do, and I think we could get a code from Maxon, like we usually get from NAB. I'll have to check with them and make sure that's the case.
Yeah. So stay tuned. We'll have some updates about that. Mm-hmm. Also coming up in how many days are we away from this? We are 2.5 weeks away from Camp MoGraph Australia. Mm-hmm. Me and EJ, we leave next Thursday, not this coming Thursday, but the Thursday after. Super excited about it. We've been getting everything together. It's getting closer and closer, and we're so excited to see all of you in Australia. If you're in the Australia area and you're looking to come, hit me up. I think we have a few people who are unable to make it. So if you're looking for a last minute ticket, feel free to hit me up. Hit me up, matt@mograph.com or matt@campmograph.com, and we can discuss. Camp MoGraph US is coming up here in a few months in Chicago, and that one's going to be really, really exciting. The tickets for that are already sold out, but if you're not on the wait list, you can sign up for the wait list. I think we may be releasing some tickets here in the coming months or closer to it. We'll find out.
Possible.
But since it's Chicago, it's, you know, central, which is great. I wanted to give a big shout out to all of our sponsors of Camp MoGraph US and Camp MoGraph Australia. First up in Australia, we've got Otoy, Maxon, Plug In Everything, Smush Workstations, Stash Magazine, HelloLux, and RevThink. A huge amount of support from all of these people. We really appreciate all of their support on Camp MoGraph Australia. We really could not have done it without y'all.
Y'all better be ready to party.
And of course, MoGraph.com. MoGraph.com is the you know, premier sponsor for the Camp MoGraph Australia event. So, you know, make sure and give them a big thanks, you know.
And get ready to party with also, Tim.
Yeah. For the Camp MoGraph US, big shout out to our global sponsor Otoy for helping us put this event on, as well as Maxon and Sony, Grayscale Gorilla, Motion Hatch, and Stash Magazine. Thank you so much for all of the support helping make these events successful. We really appreciate it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Really, really excited about it.
Sony. Let's check with the poll, MoGraph.com/weekly poll. Hopefully some people put in their vote.
It's just me and you, probably.
I'm gonna check right now and see what we got here. Going back to the poll, I might have to do a little refresh.
I think people are gonna jump on the bandwagon of I'm leaving Instagram. Look at me, you know, and it's like, but they're still gonna post. They're still gonna post. I think the problem is Zuckerberg and his machine have just a hold of you. It's they've got a hold of
what
you.
What else are you gonna
you know?
Do? What else
until something
do?
Better until the next Facebook comes along and, you know, gets rid of this MySpace, you know.
Well, I think like, I'll vote for a third party candidate.
Right.
Go ahead.
Go
throw
ahead,
your vote away.
Throw your vote away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad, but that's where we're at. Yeah.
So. But you'd come join MoGraph.com. We have a lot of fun on there.
Yep. And come say
plays
hi.
Plays for artists, made by artists. And since you know the people who are making it, if you want something changed, just tell us. We'll make it for you. Don't quote me on that.
For artists, by artists. That'll be our new motto. FABA? Is that a thing? FABA. So check us out on all the things, MoGraph.com. Of course, go to MoGraph.com/TV. You can watch 24/7 motion graphics content. Turn it on and rip the knob off. You can go to YouTube and you can see that on there. It's running 24/7. What else we got? Check us out on the YouTubes and on TikTok, Instagram, short form reels, all that kind of stuff. We got some cool OTOY content that's going to be coming out on there later on, as well as some interview stuff on YouTube that we're going to be doing with some Octane artists this year. And I think that's about it, huh? Anything else?
Yep.
All right.
I think that's it.
Cool. Well, until next time, I'm Dave.
And I'm Matt.
Have a good one.
Later, yo.
Pretty good, I guess.
Introducing MoGraph TV from MoGraph.com, a free motion graphics and animation channel streaming your favorite content and favorite artists 24/7. MoGraph TV features motion graphics tutorials, talks, tips, inspiration, and replays of popular live shows. We offer something for all levels of designer, from introductory tutorials to high-level breakdowns and everything in between.
That track looks great to me.
MoGraph TV features software like Cinema 4D, After Effects, Unreal Engine,
What up?
Third-party plugins, and other 2D and 3D software. We also feature live motion events, short-form clips, crypto art, and even a little photo and video editing. Learn from the people that inspire you most, and stay up to date on all the latest industry news, announcements, and community events. You'll also see exclusive offers only available by watching. With 3 8-hour blocks each day, you'll be sure to catch everything, no matter what your time zone. Keep it on as a companion to your workday and learn something new. Meet a friend, watch a demo, catch a classic tutorial, or even find new inspiration.
That's a British word?
A lot of things are British words.
Yes, good luck with all your projects.
MoGraph TV, television for the design community, 24/7.